This is World Update from the BBC World Service in London. I'm Dan Damon. Virginia Messick comes from a military family in the US. Her father was in the Air Force, her grandfather too. As long as she can remember, she dreamed of following them and serving her country. Just 2 weeks into her basic training, her training sergeant trapped her alone and raped her. That was only the start of the nightmare that destroyed her dream. As other victims of rape in the military have found, when she complained, Virginia was dealt with as though she was in the wrong and a threat to Air Force morale. Virginia is one of 62 Air Force trainees identified as victims of sexual assault or other improper conduct by 32 instructors at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. Eventually, 7 instructors were court-martialed, including Ms. Messick's attacker. He's serving a 20-year sentence. Virginia Messick's the first victim to talk publicly about what happened. She was 19 when she was raped by her Air Force trainer. She's 21 now. She and her lawyer, Susan Burke, spoke to me about the case, and I started by asking Virginia to describe her feelings when she discovered the person in charge of her military career was a rapist.
He used to tell us that he was God. Anything that he told us to do, we had to do. There was no choice in the fact. I mean, I've had times where he referred to us as, I don't want to cuss on the radio, but I'll say witches. When he walked into the dorm room, he used to say that daddy's home. He used to say a lot of demeaning things. He played a lot of psychological games that would make you feel like that is the only person that matters, because well, if you don't do what they say, you're going to get rid of your career. You're not even going to be allowed to be in the Air Force anymore, and they threatened that with us. If someone is literally referring to themselves as God, that's kind of over the top, and that's how much control he literally had over us.
How did he get you into a position, though, that he could assault you?
I was on a laundry crew, which is where I do laundry for all of the girls in my flight for every day, all day. And I was missing most of the time. Now, whenever I was downstairs, he told me to come upstairs. And he told me to wait 5 minutes for the cameras, so the cameras wouldn't see us together. And when he told me to come upstairs, he was asking me to come pick up some towels that I need to clean for this new flight coming in. And when I walked into the dorm, I grabbed the towels, and then I saw a light on in the office that was in the room. I walked into the office, and he closed the door behind me, and then that's when he proceeded to rape me. There was nothing I could have done because of the simple place of where he put me. It was a completely empty floor. If I would have kicked and screamed, nobody would have heard me. Fighting him would have made it even worse.
It took you a while to make your complaint. Why was that?
With rape victims, it's very common. I didn't actually come forward about it. My best friend, who I had actually told, she's the only person I ever told, and she was being assaulted by him also. And she got in contact with OSI, and then OSI came and talked to me.
OSI?
Yes. OSI is the Operation of Special Investigation for the military.
The problem is the culture, isn't it? The culture is you should man up, if I can put it that crude way. You know, get over it. You're going to threaten the stability of the force. You're supposed to be in a fighting unit. Just don't complain.
That's a lot of precedence that they put on women in the military, is that you should just be able to get over that. I've had plenty of people say, you know, why are you still having problems over this? You know, why are you having nightmares at night? Why can't you sleep? Why can't you work? Because I get extremely overwhelmed. I have extreme high anxiety. The person who I was supposed to report my rape to was my rapist. I had to report to him saying that you raped me. I need you to take me somewhere to make sure that I get the help that I need. That's never going to happen. If you're telling your assailant, I need to go talk to somebody about what you did, that's never going to happen.
And actually, for anybody looking at it calmly, you were extremely brave because you did go through with the basic training.
Yes, I didn't have a choice. I had to throw that all in the back of my mind and forget about it, because I literally had no options at that point. I had to get through basic training to get away from him.
And he was your trainer. That's the point. He was your trainer, Virginia. So he'd done this thing to you. you had no redress except through him because he was in charge, and all you could do was just go on taking his orders. Did he attack you again?
No. After he attacked me, I completely just tried to avoid him at all times. I had no respect for him. Anytime that he walked up to me, I walked away. The only time I took orders from him was if we were in a group.
When you eventually did bring your complaint to senior commanders, as you say, they didn't treat you very kindly. Did you in the end, because you did see this man go down for a 20-year sentence, did that help you in any way?
It brought some relief, but at the same time, I don't think he got enough because there's 10 girls. I don't think that 2 years for each female that was assaulted by him or raped, that's not enough. I have to be on medication. That doesn't make me angry all the time, because I would be angry all the time. I'm on a medication that keeps me from dreaming, so I can't have nightmares. I have an anxiety medication where if I go into a panic attack while I'm out in public, I have to take this anxiety medication just to calm down. I can see someone who resembles him, and it'll make me go into an anxiety attack.
Virginia, what were your hopes when you joined the Air Force?
Oh, my hopes is that I was going to spend 20 years, and I was going to have the greatest time of my life, that I was going to be, you know, the best of everything that I could be. And my father was in the Air Force. My grandfather was in the Air Force. So it was like a family thing trying to go into it, and I got so much positive feedback, and that's what I expected. I expected to go through basic training in the military and just have this wonderful life and travel places. And within my first couple weeks of basic, I completely got thrown away.
Virginia Messick. The lawyer acting for Ms. Messick is Susan Burke, and I asked Susan whether or not cases like this have led to a cultural change in the way not just the Air Force but the Department of Defense deal with allegations of sexual assault.
We have not seen any real reform or any real changes. This has sadly been a national disgrace for decades now. You may be aware back in 1991 there was a big scandal called Tailhook, and then again in 1996 and the Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and then through the Air Force Academy in 2001, and now we have Lackland. So what we have is a systemic failure on the part of the military to address the problem. And it's quite simple. They want to keep all of this internal. They want to keep it in the military and in the chain of command. And that's just not working. So we see again and again instances when the chain of command uses its unfettered discretion to simply reverse convictions, to ignore rape allegations.
Is it possible for an officer who is accused of assault to resign in place of the court-martial? In other words, not to go through any kind of tribunal?
You see that time and time again. I mean, the statistics tell the story. You begin with literally thousands of rape allegations, over 3,000 that are being looked into. They then identify the suspects. By the time you get down to it, only like 124 men even stand for court-martial. So at all parts of the process along the way, they're taking care of their own. They're funneling people out of any kind of adjudication. They often go for what they call administrative punishment. So they'll do a non-judicial punishment, which basically is just, you know, slap on the wrist. And this is for the serious crime of rape.
Obviously, there are ways of dealing with that. A lot needs to be done, as you say, but you can make the justice system work better. What about the attitudes of those in an army, I suppose, that is in many cases based on a kind of culture that is misogynist, isn't it? It's been for centuries a place where women weren't welcome.
Well, and you see, in my experience as a lawyer, what was very startling to me as I began to represent men and women in the military is that it's as if you're walking back in time. The military is insulated from lawsuits under Title VII, under the various employment laws that govern in our nation. And so what I found is just a very open sexism, an open misogyny, pornography, name-calling, just a level of conduct towards women that would not be acceptable in this day and age in other settings. And it really speaks to the need to have oversight and to have accountability in the court systems, because there's absolutely no reason why a woman who's a patriot, who's willing to give her life to defend this nation, has to be subjected to a sexually hostile environment. It's just not fair.
Susan Burke, Virginia Messick's lawyer.